They want nothing more than their freedom.
America, open your eyelids. See beyond the bureaucratic hoax and disguises. They're posts and liars, always probing and spying. Quoting the Bible while they're hoarding their bribes in. UN resolutions outweighing the Constitution. Obey them or else they're nuking you. Get it yet? No more YouTube on your internet. Powers are riven from loopholes within the tech. Forget the rest, it's time for a change. Got the wrong palm of wire and brain. To enlighten to despite the stake. You better get your weapons licensed today. Before the rest of your rights are erased. And more of our young soldiers' lives are at stake. Relax for your leaders, come on, we wouldn't lie to you. To be safe, we need to stick this microchip inside you. Spread your feet a little wider. Any weed or psilocybin? You were speeding, sir. Cavity searches are required. If you don't like the state, taking food off your plate, say, vote for Ron Paul in 2008. And if you don't want the IRS repossessing your place, then vote for Ron Paul in 2008. We got troops in Afghanistan, troops in Iraq. Where are troops at if we do get attacked? Troops out in Africa, troops in Korea. Where are troops gonna be if they do come over here? This is a message to all thinking adults who don't believe civilians should be used as catapults. Don't take what they talk for a grain of salt. They buy in bolts and bulk and putting money in their vault. Most kids know it's crap when they shoot the crap, but it won't be all that when they institute the trap. We've had a revolution before, have one again. But is that a load and a gun? We grabbing a pen. We still want a constitutional government. The IRS is cruel and unusual punishment. And who said the feds could watch you through your sunroof? Pulling you over and making you yell, uncle. Man, it's the next big scam. League of Nation building got a map and they throwing darts. Best believe Dr. Paul wants no part. If you don't like the state taking food off your plate, say vote for Ron Paul in 2008. And if you don't want the IRS repossessing, then vote for Ron Paul in 2008. We got troops in Afghanistan, troops in Iraq. Where the troops at if we do get attacked? Troops out in Africa, troops in Korea. Where are troops gonna be if they do come over here?
We'll have to fight them here tomorrow. IEDs can't hit us from 10,000 miles away. We're out of weapon range. Just ask any kid in second grade. Tell him it'll be a generation's deficit to pay. $500 million a day for this war that our nation's funding. The Federal Reserve is busy printing paper money. The billions unaccounted for should keep inflation coming. Tax return money weaker than when it was taken from we. The people think it's funny till you blow your nose.
Bills. You would need 100 for a water bottle still. So swallow lots of pills, I hope you got the guard still. That'll be the only way to pay your monster doctor bill.
But allow me to remind you of a special document. The prescription for this sickness, time to call the doctor in. Ron Paul got the medicine to set the illness right. Federal pill tonight, no bills except the bill of rights.
You want no child left behind, Dr. Paul delivered lies. And he won't promote a foreign policy and shed aside. Forget about our borders, let's give Iran a try. These puppets bust but never say nothing like Panama. I thought this was America, land in a free market. Unless you get caught without your national ID card. Yeah, we need our homeland security and FEMA. Just look how they protected us from Hurricane Katrina. You gotta know, the doctor knows. We'll never send you to Guantanamo for questioning the electoral college vote. He believes the document the founding fathers wrote should be honored from politician to common folk.
You'll get us out of Iraq and out of debt too. And get rid of the money-hungry alphabet soup. Ask Milton Friedman, only a free man. Allowed us over his can ever hope to reach them. It's happening now, roll up your sleeves and fight, cause the revolution isn't on C-SPAN. Youth of America, open your wingspan. Your forefathers fought for freedom for a reason. Not to have it taken by the country they fought for. Not to fight a long lost war on the wrong shores. The state should never be conducted by the businesses. That's why the lovers of liberty want it limited.
Cheesecake Factory. But where's Big Brother at when cheese ain't happening? The state has to let your cash T-base rapidly. They posted brought you to war and take a prison. These are guys that you are educating your children. Liberty or death, accept no substitutions. We're moving, coming.
Wake up, America.
The bureaucratic folks in disguises, they're posts and liars, always probing, quoting the Bible while they're hoarding their bribes. New resolutions outweighing the Constitution, or them or else they're nuking you. Get it yet? Your tube on your internet, powers the all that you the name.
They do come over here.
If you were president, what would be your strategy for ending the war in Iraq?
Congressman Paul, what would it be?
Just come home. We just marched in.
We can just come back.
Hi, this is Stephen Vincent. Thank you for calling, for joining me for this edition of the Freedom Message on Friday, November 16th. So today I'm going to just give you an abridged report. I'm working on a couple of important Ron Paul support projects that have pretty tight deadlines. So what we're going to do is play for you. First, I'll share with you something new I'm announcing today, the Call America for Ron Paul. We're going to be reaching people all across the country starting today with Burbank, California, with a automated telephone system. And here's the message that I'm going to be sending out today to tens and tens of thousands of people in Burbank, California. Hi, this is a call from volunteer supporters of Congressman Ron Paul. He's running for President of the United States. We're very excited about Ron Paul's message of freedom, peace, and smaller constitutional government. On November 5th, in a single 24-hour period, 40,000 Americans donated $4.3 million to the Ron Paul presidential campaign, setting a record. Something amazing is happening, something unprecedented in American politics. We really can take our country back from the special interests and restore the nation to the constitutional republic that our founding fathers intended for us. This time around, we don't have to settle for the lesser of two evils. This time around, we have a real choice. This time around, there is hope for America, and his name is Ron Paul. At the end of this message, please press 1 to be connected with a live Ron Paul volunteer supporter who will be happy to speak with you about Ron Paul and send you some literature. We also recommend that you visit Dr. Paul's official campaign website at www.ronpaul2008.com or call 877-RON-PAUL. Thank you for listening. So there you have it. That's, of course, me doing the voiceover. And I don't know, you know, we'll have other people doing voiceovers as well, but we were kind of going for the sense of being contacted by a real person who's just your average Ron Paul supporter rather than the official kind of, this is the voice of Ron Paul campaign, you know, anything very official. And, you know, so we thought something pretty... you know, on the lighter open side would be what we'd go for here. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that, and I'm anticipating it's going to be a huge success, and don't be surprised if your phone rings and it's me or someone else telling you, hey, we're calling for Ron Paul. Okay, I'm going to play 3 interviews with Ron Paul today, radio interviews for you. I'm going to go ahead and play those right now. Enjoy that, and then we'll be back with 3 pieces of media from regarding the Liberty Dollar offices raid, 3 news reports.
The last time I was in the same room with our next guest, Kirsten Powers, I introduced him as the Thomas Jefferson of the Republican Party. I believed it then, and I believe it now. Not only is he the only person in public life today who understands the Constitution and is faithful to it, he's also delivered about 4,000 babies.
Wow,
Congressman Dr. Ron Paul, welcome to Brian and the Judge.
Thank you, Judge. Great to be with you.
50% of the financial contributions from retired military, 50% are going to you. Do they know something about the war that civilians don't?
I think maybe you already answered it. You introduced me as being knowledgeable in defending the Constitution. And, you know, people who go to war and serve in the military, as I have, we take an oath to uphold the Constitution. So if you're fighting for the Constitution and somebody is defending the Constitution, it should be a connection.
But this is sort of the lie that's being told over and over about where the military is, that you have to support the war in order to support the military. And when, in fact, like he just said, you know, 50% in the Republican primary is going to you, and also we've seen if you add in you plus all of the people in the Democratic primary who are anti-war, it's 2-1 going to people who are against the war, and from military people.
Right. And, you know, I don't think for a minute anybody is hesitant to defend this country.
Right.
And they're enthusiastic about it. But when they don't see it going well and they don't understand exactly why we're involved, then they say, well, are we doing the best thing? And maybe we shouldn't be there. It's very costly in terms of life and limb as well as dollar cost. So there's a lot of questions going on. So I think a lot of conservatives are now starting to feel more comfortable with what I've been saying, because they thought maybe you had to be from the far left in order to be in opposition to going to war. But that is not true at all.
Oh, I think you've tapped a vein of conservatives, small government, Barry Goldwater conservatives in the Republican Party who've been stifled and silenced or maybe voluntarily quiet. I don't know what it is during the Bush years. And these people are now coming out in droves proclaiming you as the true conservative.
I think that is quite possible, and it's good news. But, you know, it seems like some Republicans have short memories. Remember that in the year 2000, not too many of us coming from this wing of the party complained about George Bush's campaign of a more humble foreign policy, and we were condemning Clinton, you know, for too much bombing and too much intervention, and we didn't want to do nation building and be the policeman of the world.
Right.
So all of a sudden it seems like they've forgotten, and maybe what we're doing in our campaign is just reminding them that our roots are more in the area of trying to prevent war and end war rather than precipitate.
Would you bring all the troops home tomorrow, as your colleague Dennis Kucinich and your former colleague John Edwards have said they would?
Well, I think it's impossible to do that, and I don't think symbolically I want to bring them home as soon as possible because I want to change the policy. But you know, you got to be practical. You talk to the military people. And, you know, I understand that the Pentagon already has contingency plans. They have contingency plans for expanding the war. They have one for, well, if they get the orders to come home. So there are plans on the table. How do we get our men out safely and quickly, if that's the case? So I think it's as soon as possible, but I can't see that happening, you know, in a day or a week or a month. It takes quite a few months. But I think explaining that our policies would be changed and that we're not going to be as confrontational.
Yeah, now, the Republicans will say that they were opposed to nation building because that was a pre-9/11 mentality, and now post 9/11 they support it because, of course, like you said, Tom DeLay used to go on the House floor and deride Bill Clinton for his feel good, you know, foreign policy that he's going around the world trying to save people. Now we're being told that we can't leave Iraq because there might be a genocide.
Yeah, and the justification keeps shifting. One, at the beginning, it was to enforce UN resolutions and to find these weapons of mass destruction. They don't talk about UN resolutions because there's no government of Iraq that existed before. There are no weapons of mass destruction. So then we have to promote democracy, of course, in a world that is, very opposed to democracy because they believe in religious law and they have a belief in combining religion and the state. So it keeps shifting. Now we have to be there to fight the Al-Qaeda. And the truth is, there is Al-Qaeda there, but they weren't there before. So you can't keep doing this. I think the real problems that we're having there is because we're occupiers, and it's a clear-cut signal that actually endangers us because we are seen as invaders. What would we think if another country was doing that to us and saying that, well, we're not interested in your oil and we're not interested in controlling it? It's just unbelievable from their viewpoint, and unfortunately, we don't quite understand it from their viewpoint.
Paul O'Neill, who was the Secretary of the Treasury in the first Bush administration, has written that at the very first cabinet meeting, George Bush talked about attacking Iraq. What do you think is the real reason we're in Iraq? And include in your answer, don't governments like war because they can tax more and control more during wartime?
Well, I think you've really touched on something there, because you have big government liberals and big government conservatives, and they might rationalize the war, but deep down in their heart they know it's an easy excuse. Because even some of the neocons, when they came out about 9/11, some people interpreted it incorrectly and say, oh, this was deliberately planned, which I don't believe. But at the same time, some of them were very blunt and say, well, this is an opportunity, you know, for us to do those things. Now, as far as what I really believe was the reason that we're in there, I think there are multiple, but I would say oil is pretty much on top of the list. I would give some credibility to the argument that the neocons themselves made, that they're idealistic and they think that we're better than everybody else and that we can promote our goodness through force, which I totally do not accept. I believe that we have a responsibility to spread our goodness, but only voluntarily by setting a good example. So those are the various reasons. And I think overall our foreign policy in the Middle East has prompted us to both support nations, you know, like Saudi Arabia and even Israel, that prompts us to do things like this.
Yeah. The question, the argument is made, you know, we can't leave because Iraq will turn into a safe haven for terrorists. But isn't the safe haven really in Pakistan? And I mean, why would they stay in Iraq if we left?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's their training grounds, but the real planning and support and leadership's in Pakistan. But still, the madrasa schools, which we helped to energize and radicalize in the 1980s, they're coming from Saudi Arabia.
And Saudi Arabia is doing nothing to prosecute any known terrorists in their country.
Absolutely not. Before we let you go, do you think that the three of us, Kirsten Powers, Ron Paul, and yours truly, will live to see a day when the IRS is abolished?
Well, let's pray that comes about. It won't come about unless we change our attitude about what the role of government is as a people, which means you can't run a world empire and you can't run a welfare state without gouging the productive citizens of a country. So when we give up this silly, unconstitutional notion that we're supposed to rule the world and manage a welfare state, I think we're going to have taxation that is going to be very, very painful until we have that final conclusive financial collapse, which I think we're in the early stages of.
Congressman Ron Paul, the most intellectually honest person in the Republican race for president. Always a pleasure. You're always welcome here. Thanks, Congressman.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
Truth, honesty, perspective.
Brian and the Judge
on Fox News Talk.
Here this morning, but I'll tell you who's making some major noise. Dr. Ron Paul, Congressman, more and more people had recently broke a record for one day fundraising on the Internet. A lot of people are talking about his ideas, joining us on the KDON Live Line. Dr. Ron Paul, welcome. Welcome to the Heidi Harris Show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Glad to have you, sir. Let's talk a little bit about your foreign policy. You think that America has the wrong foreign policy when it comes to Iraq.
The wrong foreign policy when it comes to the world. And the Iraq situation is just a consequence of a flawed foreign policy. Now, I adhere to the foreign policy that I think the Constitution permits, and that is a strong defense with also minding our own business. That was a strong advice from the Founding Fathers. They said no entangling alliances, don't get involved in the internal affairs of other nations. And Republicans in the past have more or less stood behind that. You know, they tried to end the wars rather than starting them, and even President Bush ran on that program of no nation building and no policing of the world. So, yes, I'm very strong non-interventionist. I'd like to have a strong defense, but I'd bring our troops home.
Well, I would agree with you that I don't think it's President Bush's job or any president's job to try to build democracies in other nations. But what would you have done had you been president after 9/11? Do you think we should have attacked anybody else in retaliation for what happened?
Well, yeah, but the people who were responsible, but we let the Al-Qaeda go. We didn't pursue them at Tora Bora, but to attack and go into nation building in Afghanistan and Iraq and mislead the people to think it had something to do with 9/11 was deceitful, and it was so misleading because they had nothing to do with it. Certainly Iraq had zero to do with it. So if we understand that one of the precipitating factors of why people are willing to commit suicide terrorism is that is our occupation and our presence in their territory and in their land, we did exactly the wrong thing by invading two more countries.
So if we pull out of Iraq, which is what a lot of Democrats want to see us do, we just leave, won't that signal weakness to the terrorists who want to attack us? Because the only thing they seem to understand is strength.
No, would it be a sign of wisdom? Because It's a problem for us. We're not winning the war. Our troops are dying. We don't have the money. We can't even fight the war without borrowing money from the Chinese. So, no, sometimes it takes strength to admit our faults. This is what Ronald Reagan had to do when the Marines were killed in Lebanon. He realized it was a failed policy. He said he wouldn't leave, but he did. And no more Marines were killed, and the suicide terrorism stopped. And he admitted in his memoirs that he made a mistake. He had to reassess things, and that he said the irrationality of the politics in that region was so bad that he had to change his policy. So I thought that was pretty strong. You have to be a strong person to be able to change policy when it's not going well.
Yeah, no question about that. What do you think we should do about Iran? Should we be terribly concerned about them and a possible nuclear weapon?
Well, I think concerned, but not terribly concerned. I was in the military during the 60s, and we had some pretty frightening experiences there then with the Soviets having 40,000 missiles and weapons, and we didn't have to have a nuclear war or confrontation. So the Iranians don't have a weapon, and I think our problem is too often we reward countries who end up getting weapons. You know, the Pakistanis got a weapon, and they transferred technology to the Koreans, and we just gave them $10 billion. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to reward people with a nuclear weapon.
So what would the limitations be if you were president on what we should be able to do to defend ourselves and other nations? You would recommend that we attack only the nations that attack us. What about people who might attack us? What would you recommend we do?
Well, everybody might attack us.
No question about that. That's true. That's true.
I think there is a condition, even though I don't think there's a good example in our history, where there's an imminent attack. You know, let's say the battleships are offshore and they're ready to land. You know, it's imminent. We know that it's coming. But that's never really happened. It came close to that almost, I guess, during the Cuban crisis. But we've never had to deal with that. So I say if they attack us, we answer. They attacked us at Pearl Harbor, and we answered to it. And they attacked us on 9/11, and we went after the Al-Qaeda in an inept way. But, no, you have to retaliate, and you have to defend ourselves.
Now, let's talk a little bit about an ad you've been running here in Nevada where you are against the government taxing tips. You know, hallelujah. I took a bunch of calls on that the other day. Everybody was thrilled to hear that, Congressman.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it a shame people are trying to struggle and get jobs and work their way up the ladder or go to school, and they're working, they depend on tips, and what do? We send out the bureaucrats, pay the bureaucrats to hound these people, run them down, and have devised all kinds of schemes to make sure nobody got a tip, that they didn't get to pay, that they didn't pay taxes on it. It's outrageous. So
yeah.
I would, people who get tips might be professionals, but they also might be people who are waiting on tables while they're going to college, and this would be a tremendous incentive for people to be on their own. I'm for self-reliance, so there's a lot easier to be self-reliant when you get to keep everything you earn.
Yeah, no question about that. Let's talk about illegal immigration. Now, you would like to see it made against the law. In other words, if you have a baby here in America and you're not a citizen, that baby's not automatically a citizen, correct?
That is true. I support that because I think it's abused, especially people come over, they're illegal, they have babies, and they automatically go on the payrolls. I think that problem is compounded because we have a welfare system, and there's a cost to us for that. So that's the reason I take that position.
Yeah, now you're a strict, you're a big constitutionalist. You'd have to overturn the Constitution to make that happen. Would you be willing to try to do that?
I've done it both ways. Some people argue that it's a misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment. Others say you have to change the Constitution. Matter of fact, I am not the final answer on that, so I've introduced two ways to do it. One with legislatively clarifying what they meant, because I don't think originally it meant every single baby born here was going to have citizenship, especially if you were illegal. But I also introduced a constitutional amendment if the consensus is that we have to change it.
You know, what's so frightening is that we're just not serious about illegal immigration in this country, are we? We're not securing the borders, and then they're running roughshod all over the place. And, of course, there's a threat of terrorism coming from south of the border also.
Yeah, and I think that is not an accident. I don't think they're just careless. I think that reflects a philosophy of those who would like to organize us into a North American Union, just as, you know, they have a European Union. I don't think that the leadership in both parties really endorse the idea of national sovereignty, and that's why I think they neglect these borders and they don't really work on eliminating, promise of citizenship. So, but I still believe in national sovereignty. I think we should have borders, and I don't like the idea of a North American Union.
Well, that's so important. We're speaking with Congressman Dr. Ron Paul. Quick break for traffic. We come back. We've got lots more to chat with. Appreciate you joining us this morning. We'll be back in just a moment with Congressman Dr. Ron Paul, candidate for president, as you know. Here's Ira Clayton in the KDON Glenn Lerner Traffic Center.
Now, back to the Valley's top local talk show host, Heidi Harris, on News Talk 720 KDON, KDWN.
speaking with Congressman Dr. Ron Paul, running for president. Thank you, Dr. Paul, for being with me. I do appreciate that. How do you think, Dr. Paul, we got to a situation where so many Americans think the Bill of Rights includes, you know, your right to housing, your right to health care, your right to welfare, all these things that were never intended?
Yes, and if we don't reverse that, there's not much of a chance that we can win this fight about, against big government, big spending, because obviously you have a right to your life and you have your right to your liberty, and you ought to have a right to keep everything you earn. So we have to re-educate a whole public, and that is that you have to assume the government doesn't own us and they can't take our income and have an income tax, but at the same time, they can't expect the government to take care of us either. You know, if you need something, just because you need something or want something, you don't have a right to it. And that's the difference between, you know, a free country and a totalitarian society. The problem is when you accept this idea that you have a right to it, which it'll lead to a situation where you won't get it. Because when governments assume that they can give you free education, free medical care, and free housing, you end up with a mess and you end up not getting it. So out of desperation, we're going to have to learn this lesson rather quickly.
Well, that's absolutely true. How about this housing situation? I'm not going to call it a crisis. People who bought houses they can't afford, should the government have any part at all in giving these people quote-unquote relief?
No, not relief, but they should have done a better job in preventing it, because the boom part of a cycle is caused by the Federal Reserve. They deceive the people, the savers, and the investors into doing things that they wouldn't have done otherwise in a capitalist society, because you wouldn't be building houses as if you didn't have savings. Today we don't save, but the distortion is that the federal government creates new money and artificially lowers interest rates, fooling the people into thinking there are savings out there and that there's room for these type of investments. So the culprit really is the Federal Reserve. But this said, it's not a justification for taxing some individual who didn't get taken in on this and make him or her pay for these mistakes.
Well, that's so important. And you want to go, of course, back to the gold standard.
I want to take away the power of government, whether it's directly by the by our Congress or the Federal Reserve, to create money out of thin air. They've done it for many, many years, hundreds of years, if not thousands, where it always destroys the money. And then we're in the process of doing it. Now, just look at the value of our dollar compared to other currencies, especially the Canadian dollar. So that's a bad sign for us.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, what about the – I know you've got about a minute left, and I swear I'll get you out of here. Talk briefly about the oil situation. Should we be drilling for more oil here in America and make ourselves a little bit more independent?
Yes, but I don't worry about independence. I don't think the Japanese worry about it. They don't have any oil at all. There's a world market, and there always will be. But we should free up the market. We shouldn't be trying to direct the market, like subsidizing ethanol from corn. That's not been proven to be a viable option. We should get out of the way, let nuclear power develop if it's necessary, and alternative fuels will come about. But this whole idea that we have to send our armies to protect oil and that we have to have government subsidies to make the decisions on what alternatives we have is wrong. But the oil reserves should be belong to the people, and they should make the decision. In Texas, we never had government ownership of land, so those natural resources were developed without any trouble, but now government makes all these decisions. But there's certainly a lot of options. You know, the oil, oil sands, that there's so much oil, and when the price goes up, that will be attractive, and somebody will make use of it, but we need to really get the government out of the way, and I wouldn't worry too much about it if we were not trying to micromanage this.
Yeah, Congressman Dr. Ron Paul, thanks so much for taking the time. I promised I'd get you out of here by 22.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We look forward to talking with you later this morning. But
let's go to join us. Right back to conversation. Later, we're going to talk with the historian, The Perils of Peace, and how we survived Yorktown. These, I know these are foreign phrases and seemingly non-familiar, but we're going to talk with Thomas Fleming and see if we can rehearse a little bit of our not-so-ancient past in the United States and how we were able to achieve independence and how that wasn't always an easy thing. That's coming up a little bit later, and we'll have some open line time as well. Right now, Congressman Ron Paul is on our newsmaker line. Sir, thank you for joining us again today.
Thank you, Jan. Good to be with you.
You are doing extraordinarily well when it comes to campaign money on the ledger sheet. Could you account for that? I don't mean the dollars in every penny. I just mean what accounts for people opening up their coffers and handing them the money to Ron Paul?
I give credit to the message. I think the message is powerful. I think the problems are significant, and they've sort of met up. I think the people realize there's something significantly wrong with Washington, D.C., and I think have sort of given up on Washington, D.C. taking care of us from cradle to grave, and I think they're tired of our foreign policy, and I offer something different, and it's in many ways very American, very constitutional, very freedom-oriented, and they're rallying behind that message.
It's interesting that... Now, Governor Huckabee is running a pretty close second place here in Iowa, and he has come on strong in recent weeks. But he's having trouble getting money. It's those Baptists. They're just they will not pony up. They're just crummy givers. They just won't pony up, will they?
Well, I guess that's the case, but I'll bet you I have a few Baptists have sent some money to me. You know, it depends, I guess, maybe the motivation behind the message. So who knows? I guess the only poll that really is going to count when we have the election, so we'll have to see where it all works out, how it all works.
It's possible in the next few months and maybe years and maybe even months that the euro could displace the dollar as far as international currency. Does that concern you? Do you think it's a correct premise, and what would it take in order to prevent that?
Well, I don't think there should be a strong desire to prevent it. It might force us to live within our means. We've had a freebie, so to speak, because after Bretton Woods broke down and there was no gold related to this to the money, the dollar was still seen as good as gold, even though it wasn't, and therefore we were able to just print money, spend it overseas, and get lazy. So we've had tremendous benefit from this artificially strong dollar, and now the markets are catching up with it. But, you know, I watch those markets, as you do, carefully, but I'm not so sure that I have a lot of confidence in the euro. It's still paper money. It's still working within a system which is as socialistic, if not more so, than ours. But I think the markets are saying that things are out of whack. The dollar's been artificially strong. We've gotten away with spending too much and borrowing too much. Right now, the euro looks better, so I think it is. There is a transition going on. Even some of our allies, I believe Kuwait even announced that they would start taking more euros than dollars. And, of course, there were charges made that both Saddam Hussein and Iran threatened to and planned to use the euro instead of the dollar. So I think that's really what's going on. I think that's why oil prices are so high, because they're taking the weak dollars, and if they want to buy something with euros, they're not getting as many euros, so they're demanding more dollars.
Well, we are, in essence, counterfeiting our own currency, but there are other countries around the world that are also counterfeiting American dollars. I've heard rumors that in North Korea and even some other rumors, I don't know if it's true or not, you'd be in a better position to know, that even the Chinese have been known to counterfeit American currency.
You mean the literal counterfeiting of the bills?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's been, you know, tried many, many times. I think it is difficult with all their techniques that they use to try to prevent that. But I think the biggest counterfeiting that we have to worry about is the creation of credit with a computer by our Federal Reserve System. That's by far the biggest burden we have, and that's what everybody's screaming for right now. The markets want to correct these imbalances. And that's why, you know, you see the crisis in housing, but everybody's screaming for the Fed to lower interest rates, which means they have to create more money. So we have a problem of inflation, and it's too many dollars. We run into a problem, it starts to correct, and everybody screams, print more, print more. And that will not be the solution. There may be some shifts back and forth in the different currencies, but my idea is that most likely people will resort to getting out of paper when they get very frightened, and they'll start buying something, whether it's land or houses or whatever. I think the Chinese are already doing that. They're buying up a lot of companies right now, and they don't want to buy up too fast or dump the dollar too quickly, because they have so many of them. They won't be in their interest to destroy the dollar. But I think they're taking them less enthusiastically, and they're spending them more readily and buying up places around the world.
You're a gold bug, as they used to call it. You like the gold standard. Let's assume tomorrow, Congressman Ron Paul, that we converted from our fiat currency and reestablished some form of gold standard. Wouldn't you hear this great sucking sound of gold leaving the United States as the people with deep pockets and currency would just buy up the gold and it'd be gone overnight?
Well, it would depend on what the ratio would be, and nobody knows the ratio. You know, after the Civil War, gold went to over $100 an ounce, and then it was really only supposed to be 20. We withdrew greenbacks, and the transition back to the gold standard wasn't a big deal because they trusted what the government was saying, and they quit printing. Today, and the British tried that after World War One. And they set the old ratio, and they did. It happened exactly what you're suggesting, that people would rush to take the gold, and the gold would leave the country or go into somebody's suitcase or into somebody's pocket. Today, you don't know exactly, and the market would have to determine whether the ratio ought to be $800 to an ounce, $1,000, or $3,000. And then when it's at the right amount and people are reassured that the gold will be there and they can trust their government, and then that wouldn't happen. But today you just couldn't turn a switch and say we're on the gold standard and we'll redeem the dollar at even $800 an ounce.
Well,
I wouldn't believe it for a minute if they were going to redeem the dollar at $800 an ounce. It's going to have to be much higher.
Well, we've gone through this period before following Vietnam, and we were trying to pay off the Vietnam War debt, and we also had guns and butter at the same time when we had the energy shock. And we had, quote, stagflation, and I think it was the Nixon administration took us off the gold standard for
right.
the last time,
mm-hmm.
and he became a Keynesian at that time. Are we pretty close to that same perfect storm right now, aren't we?
I think so, but I believe it's worse. I think our productive capacity in this country has been more undermined. I don't think we have as many good manufacturing jobs, and we have a much greater debt. We are the greatest debtor nation. Back then, we were a creditor nation, and now we owe $2.7 trillion to foreigners. So just paying that off and paying interest on it is going to absorb a lot of our production. And so I see conditions much worse, and once this dollar really gets tumbling down, I think people may well panic. So I think it's a very dangerous situation.
Will we be like the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union collapsed? All of the investment they made in their social safety net, they repudiated by their, inflation. They just
right.
they nuked their own currency and walked away from their liabilities by printing up even more and more money.
Would
we do this in order to pay for the boomers and the health care for everybody, and after we have repealed the tax cuts for the rich, will we inflate our currency and repudiate the safety net that way?
Well, that's what the whole purpose is, and those behind the scenes know it. Even Keynes admitted that these debts can't be paid, so therefore you pay the debt off with cheaper money. And so if you have a 10% inflation rate, you've liquidated 10% of your debt each year, and it could be much worse. So the debt will be liquidated, which means that those people who are on the receiving end of the Social Security checks, the cost of living increases will never keep up. Last year, the government said, cost of living went up 2%, so we'll increase your benefits by 2%. So the cost of living, you know, by the old CPI measurement was going up 10%. So they're losing ground already, and that's how they're liquidating debt, and that's why people are feeling the hurt in the economy, and yet the government says the statistics are fine, no unemployment.
Is that also one of the reasons why the OPEC countries just keep pumping up the cost per barrel, because we keep giving them cheaper and cheaper dollars for their commodities?
Yeah, that, plus the fact that we disturb the political situation over there. I think the two, there's a risk premium politically, and there's a risk premium for the dollar going down and the inflation premium. These are all factored in. One thing about the inflation factor is you can inflate a currency for 5 or 10 years, and people don't pay much attention to it. Then all of a sudden, it seems like the market discovers, my goodness, there's a lot of money out there. And people start shifting their investments away from financial instruments over into commodities, which they've been doing for a couple years now. Now it's starting to hit home. I was in a gun shop yesterday, and for years, you know, guns weren't necessarily going up. But they were telling me that every product that goes into making a gun, you know, one of the raw materials, have all going up so significantly now that it's worked through the market, you know, the cost of guns are going up. But this would be the case on whether it's automobiles or whatever we're building.
I need to take a short time out here, Congressman Ron Paul. Do you have time for a couple more calls here?
Couple calls, right.
All right, we'll take a short time out. Congressman Ron Paul is running for president, as you well know. Very interesting fellow. He likes to talk about the this part of the economic mix, and he's one of the very few people equipped to do so. Join us at 284-1040 or 800-469-4295 in a moment. Congressman Ron Paul is on our newsmaker line. Thomas Fleming, historian, is going to be joining us shortly to talk about the wall for independence. And Congressman Paul, running for president, he's a Republican, and he's on our newsmaker line right now. Let's go directly to David. Good morning, David.
Good morning. First of all, let me just say this really quick. I think a lot of conservatives would support Ron Paul. They love his stand on economics, on cutting the spending and getting the government off our backs. But there's three caveats that would keep us from doing that. We think he's a mad marvel. Number one, he wouldn't have stopped the starvation of Terri Schiavo. He wouldn't have had anything to do with it. Number two, he'd do nothing to stop the onslaught of homosexual marriage. And number three, they think he's in the bed with the left on the war, that he would gut our military.
All right, respond to all of those. Terri Schiavo, you're a physician, Ron Paul, and an obstetrician. Go ahead and talk to us about that.
Well, I just think that should be handled by families and doctors and local laws under our Constitution. We don't get involved in that. We don't get involved in abortion or murder or killing or robbery. So if you believe in the Constitution, you don't accept those things. And if you're conservative and a constitutionalist, you don't go to war without a declaration. It's simple as that. So if you're concerned about the economics and the spending, you have to be concerned about foreign policy. That's where you could save hundreds of billions of dollars. That's what our founders said. That's what Bush ran on. Bush said a humble foreign policy, no nation building, no policing of the world. So I'm just strictly speaking a Republican position and what we condemn the Democrats for. We condemn the Democrats who gave us Korea and Vietnam and Somalia and Kosovo, Just try to be consistent.
All right, agreed. But what if the court system makes it a federal case?
Well, I think it should be denied to the courts. I have a bill that would keep it out of federal courts. I think that Roe versus Wade should have never been heard. Once you resort and you depend on the federal government, you're opening up a door to real trouble, because that's exactly what happened with Roe versus Wade. We turned over the federal government. Not only did the courts rule, but they legislated, so you're looking for trouble. Texas would still have a law against abortion if you would have accepted the constitutional principle of the state's rights position.
Congressman Ron Paul, thank you for your time.
Dollars designer filed suit against the mint to stop them from making that claim. The dollars are shipped out of the store right here in Evansville to places all across the country. About a dozen agents who identified themselves as FBI and Secret Service raided the shop, taking precious metals out of the safe, taking Liberty dollars, and even taking computers. The raid has enraged supporters of alternative currency who say the Liberty dollar doesn't claim to be the same thing as Federal Reserve notes.
You're not going to be able to pay taxes and that sort of thing with it. But we at least want to be able to barter. Like if I wanted to trade you a CD player for another, for a television set, you know, there's nothing in the law that says I can't do that. The same with a round of silver. There shouldn't be anything in the law that says I couldn't trade you a round of silver for the same thing.
Now, backers of the Liberty dollar recently issued a peace dollar designed to keep money out of the Federal Reserve to prevent it from financing the Iraq war. They also issued a Ron Paul dollar in honor of the presidential candidate who backs getting rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. Now, we spoke with the creator of the Liberty Dollar, Bernard von Nothaus, and he says he fully expects to be arrested as part of this raid on his shop, but he says the case against him is baseless. We spoke to him. We're going to hear from him tonight at 9. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say.
Thanks, Andy.
And we now have an update on the Liberty Dollar raid we first brought you on 14 News at 5.
Federal agents raided an Evansville company that makes its own currency. Tonight we're learning the impact of that raid. It's affecting hundreds of people across the country. Brandon Bartlett's here tonight with the story of one man and his missing treasures.
Well, David and Ann, this is really an interesting story, one that affects not only tri-staters, but many across the nation. Tonight, one Evansville company is closed that is known for printing its own form of currency, leaving many wondering tonight, just where is their money?
They weren't, apparently weren't charged with a crime. I don't think anybody was arrested from what I've heard, so that's a direct violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Lindsay and others who support an alternative to the Federal Reserve System were shocked to hear of a raid overnight at the world headquarters of Liberty Dollar. The company based in Evansville is a private company that produces what it calls barter currency. An email sent out by the company says FBI agents raided its office, confiscating all of its property and equipment. 14 News learned that in March of this year, the U.S. Mint issued a warning to Liberty Dollar that the use and mere possession of this so-called currency is illegal. John Peterson says he's read otherwise and is now worried about his outstanding orders with the company, totaling more than $5,000.
I'm pretty angry about it, actually, because I read a lot of the legalese and so forth on the website, and you know, I did some research on barter and the legality of it and the taxation policy and so forth, and as far as everything I can tell, I'm not a lawyer, but from everything I can tell, they're not doing anything illegal.
The man behind Liberty Dollar, Bernard von Nothaus, who 14 News learned lives in California, says in a statement that people have the right to collect and use anything they choose as barter. Liberty issues both coins and paper currency. They claim their dollar is backed by 1 ounce of silver. This is a reason Peterson found the company so enticing. He says he would like to receive his coins, but hasn't been able to get in touch with anyone at Liberty. He called the FBI and the Secret Service, but says they aren't willing to help. Now he says he's just hoping for the best, but doesn't see an end in sight.
I really don't see this being resolved anytime soon. I think they're going to have to go probably as far as maybe even the Supreme Court to fight it.
And Peterson told me he currently has 5 silver and 1 gold coin in his possession. He called his credit card company tonight to try to get his $5,000 back. He even joined a class action lawsuit against Liberty Dollar, but David and Ann, he fears he won't be getting his money back.
Well, what does he do with this kind of funny money anyway?
Well, he told me he just collects it. He's never actually tried to use it as actual currency.
All right.
Very interesting. Keep following that one. Thanks, Brandon.
Austin, Texas, Republican, you're on the air. Hi there, how are you guys doing today? Thanks, C-SPAN, as always, for giving us a chance to speak our mind. I watched the debate last night. No one addressed the issue of our funny money, of the printing of money out of thin air, or really of our trade deficit with China, or deficit spending. And up there on the stage were many of these deficit spenders. And I'm going to tell you how this all relates to the earlier caller who spoke about the confiscation of the Ron Paul Liberty dollars. The government is moving to feed private holdings of precious metals. This is always...
Do you really think that's happening?
Yes.
Do you, are you 100% convinced that's happening?
Do you not think that CNBC
and everybody would be screaming at the top of their lungs if that was actually happening?
And what are you hearing from me? I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. Am I not? Well, I'm not screaming, literally, but yes, this is going on. Tell me how the dollar isn't being devalued. Tell me how our country isn't in the worst financial crisis it's ever been in. It has always been a hallmark of tyranny for the government to move to seize holdings of precious metals. Now, I saw Ron Paul giving it to Bernanke the other day, and he was trying to hold his feet to the fire on this, and Bernanke was just not even answer. Then afterwards, the chairman of the committee basically apologized to Bernanke for having to have his feet held to the fire. And I also agree with the previous caller who was disparaging Hillary for the way she dodged that question about the boys club with the female reporter who, when
her feet were held to the fire, she looked at her and said her name and scolded her. There isn't, you know, I'm a Ron Paul supporter. Ron Paul's my guy.
Obviously. Okay. All right, you got, thanks, Colin. Well, let's just leave it there. You got Mr. Paul's name in there 10 times, so we appreciate your calling and your information. Juan Carlos, words conquer.
The Liberty Dollar call a federal raid a raid on the Constitution. Good evening, I'm Jackie Monroe.
And I'm Randy Moore. The Liberty Dollar store on Evansville's east side was the target of an apparent federal raid. The company makes and sells using the money is illegal.
Fox 7's Andy Schroeder calls us to explain just what the Liberty Dollar controversy is all about. Andy?
Well, guys, the Liberty Dollar is what's known as a private barter currency. You use your U.S. notes, your greenbacks, essentially, to buy one of their notes, which represents a specific amount of the precious metal silver. I want to show you what the Liberty Dollar looks like. Each one is redeemable for what's known as a round of silver, basically a silver ingot. It's the same concept that used to back up Federal Reserve notes, but the Liberty Dollar has been called illegal by the U.S. Mint, and the dollar's designer filed suit against the Mint to stop them from making that claim. The dollars are shipped out of the store right here in Evansville to places all across the country. About a dozen agents who identified themselves as FBI and Secret Service raided the shop, taking precious metals out of the safe, taking Liberty Dollars, and even taking computers. The raid has enraged supporters of alternative currency who say the Liberty Dollar doesn't claim to be the same thing as Federal Reserve notes.
You're not going to be able to pay taxes and that sort of thing with it, but we at least want to be able to barter. Like if I wanted to trade you a CD player for another, for a television set, you know, there's nothing in the law that says I can't do that. The same with a round of silver. There shouldn't be anything in the law that says I couldn't trade you a round of silver for the same thing.
Now, backers of the Liberty Dollar recently issued a peace dollar designed to keep money out of the Federal Reserve to prevent it from financing the Iraq War. They also issued a Ron Paul dollar in honor of the presidential candidate who backs getting rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. Now, we spoke with the creator of the Liberty Dollar, Bernard von Nothaus, and he says he fully expects to be arrested as part of this raid on his shop, but he says the case against him is baseless. We spoke to him. We're going to hear from him tonight at 9. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say.
Thanks, Andy.
And we now have an update on the Liberty Dollar raid we first brought you on 14 News at 5.
Federal agents raided an Evansville company. Tonight we're learning the impact of that raid. It's affecting hundreds of people across the country. Brandon Bartlett's here tonight with the story of one man and his missing treasures.
Well, David and Ann, this is really an interesting story and one that affects not only tri-staters but many across the nation. Tonight, one Evansville company is closed that is known for printing its own form of currency, leaving many wondering tonight, just where is their money?
They weren't apparently weren't charged with a crime. I don't think anybody was arrested from what I've heard, so that's a direct violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Lindsay and others who support an alternative to the Federal Reserve System were shocked to hear of a raid overnight at the world headquarters of Liberty Dollar. The company based in Evansville is a private company that produces what it calls barter currency. An email sent out by the company says FBI agents raided its office, confiscating all of its property and equipment. 14 News learned that in March of this year, the U.S. Mint issued a warning to Liberty Dollar that the use and mere possession of this so-called currency is illegal. John Peterson says he's read otherwise and is now worried about his outstanding orders with the company, totaling more than $5,000.
I'm pretty angry about it, actually, because I read a lot of the legalese and so forth on the website, and, you know, I did some research on barter and the legality of it and the taxation policy and so forth. And as far as everything I can tell, I'm not a lawyer, but from everything I can tell, They're not doing anything illegal.
The man behind Liberty Dollar, Bernard von Nothaus, who 14 News learned lives in California, says in a statement that people have the right to collect and use anything they choose as barter. Liberty issues both coins and paper currency. They claim their dollar is backed by 1 ounce of silver. This is a reason Peterson found the company so enticing. He says he would like to receive his coins, but hasn't been able to get in touch with anyone at Liberty. He called the FBI and the Secret Service, but says they aren't willing to help. Now he says he's just hoping for the best, but doesn't see an end in sight.
I really don't see this being resolved anytime soon. I think they're going to have to go probably as far as maybe even the Supreme Court to fight it.
And Peterson told me he currently has 5 silver and 1 gold coin in his possession. He called his credit card company tonight to try to get his $5,000 back. He even joined a class action lawsuit against Liberty Dollar, but David and Ann, he fears he won't be getting his money back.
Well, what does he do with this kind of funny money anyway?
Well, he told me he just collects it. He's never actually tried to use it as actual currency.
All right.
Very interesting. Keep following that one. Thanks, Brandon.
Austin, Texas, Republican, you're on the air. Hi there, how are you guys doing today? Thanks, C-SPAN. As always, a chance to speak our mind. I watched the debate last night. No one addressed the issue of our funny money, of the printing of money out of thin air, or really of our trade deficit with China, or deficit spending. And up there on the stage were many of these deficit spenders. And I'm going to tell you how this all relates to the earlier caller who spoke about the confiscation of the Ron Paul Liberty dollars. The government is moving to seize private holdings of precious metals. This is always... Do you really think that's happening?
Yes.
Are you 100% convinced that's happening?
Do you not think that
CNBC and everybody would be screaming at the top of their lungs if that was actually happening?
And what are you hearing from me? I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. Am I not? Well, I'm not screaming, literally, but yes, this is going on. Tell me how the dollar isn't being devalued. Tell me how our country isn't in the worst financial crisis it's ever been in. It has always been a hallmark of tyranny for the government to move to seize holdings of precious metals. Now, I saw Ron Paul giving it to Bernanke the other day, and he was trying to hold his feet to the fire on this, and Bernanke would just not even answer. Then afterwards, the chairman of the committee basically apologized to Bernanke for having to have his feet held to the fire. And I also agree with the previous caller who was disparaging Hillary for the way she dodged that question about the boys' club with the female reporter who, when her feet were held to the fire, she looked at her and said her name and scolded her. There isn't, you know, I'm a Ron Paul supporter. Ron Paul's my guy.
Okay. All right, thanks, caller. Well, let's just leave it there. You got Mr. Paul's name in there 10 times, so. We appreciate your calling and your information. Juan Carlos, words conquer.